I'm Henry McNulty, and this is From the Studio. I'm joined today by A Midsummer Night's Dream from Spokane Civic Theater. And its director, Jean Hardy, is in the studio with me. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. Hi, Henry.
We have a great little scene to listen to at the end of this interview. But Jean, why don't you tell me a little bit about this particular production?
This production is probably what I have dreamed about doing since I first was involved with Midsummer Night's Dream in 1970. It has the beautiful set that I always wanted. It has the beautiful lighting I always wanted, and a great cast who are really bringing the emotions and the comedy and the flow and the tight plotting of the show that I think is what makes Midsummer Night's Dream so special.
This is a pretty young cast, right? Because
yes.
This is an Academy production, is that correct?
It is an Academy production, and so we kept it to high school and college age. I think the youngest might be 14 and the oldest 22. So yeah, that is young.
And performing quite a range of characters over the course of this, too.
Absolutely. I mean, that, again, is what makes Midsummer Night's Dream so special, that there are so many characters that have so much to do, and that it's such a wide variety, from royalty to the lower classes, from lovers to actors. It just has a wealth of great characters for people to play.
A great number of performers then in the show, I assume, too, because you have, you know, this large cast of characters. But how many people do you have performing?
We have 23 in the cast.
Okay. And how does that compare to the number of roles? How do you divvy that sort of thing out?
Well, I've created just a few smaller roles to bring some more kids into it. I've given Oberon some attendants to kind of skulk around in the background. But other than that, I mean, there are about 19 or 20 actual speaking roles in the play, which is a lot. And they all have, you know, something great to say. Even if they don't have a lot of lines, everybody's got some special moments. So that is, we only have a couple of people that were added, let's put it that way.
So maybe I'll turn to an actor who'd like to step up maybe and speak a little bit to this process and what it's been like joining the cast of A Midsummer Night's Dream. And introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Morin, and I'm going to be so honest. This is my dream role, playing Puck in A Midsummer Night's Dream. My dad was super into Shakespeare, and so he would kind of bombard me with a bunch of Shakespeare plays and be like, hey, we're turning on the TV and put it on YouTube, and no, we're not going to watch a kid's show. We're going to put on Shakespeare Globe performance of A Midsummer Night's Dream. And so I was like, oh, here we go again. But it actually ended up being something amazing. And I feel this role has always been something that I was drawn to. And despite lacking resources at elementary and middle school, I pursued acting in the comfort of my own home by myself because of these Shakespeare plays that I would watch. And I think being able to grow on my own and then going into high school and just being like flashbang, wow, this is what theater is actually like. And then I go through the process of learning and I figure out there's so much I can do. And so I keep looking into different parts, and still Puck is in the back of my mind. I watch a Dead Poets Society and I'm like, oh, that's the guy. And so, you know, to finally be here and be doing this in like, this is way bigger than I ever thought I would be. And so it's amazing. I feel very honored.
Is there anyone else who'd like to chime in about their own experience with a character or with doing the show?
Go ahead, Miranda.
This is my second year doing the education program shows, and I think that something's that just so beautiful about this show and the prior show I did is their ensemble shows. So anytime you feel like you're about to fall, someone's there to catch you. You're all growing and flourishing at different points in your life, but you're doing it together, and there's always so much room to learn. The whole point is learning. The pressure is off. you're there to make a show that you're really proud of, and you can really say that it's something that's yours. And I think that's something that's very beautiful about civics education program.
Well, that's a lovely description. Jean, maybe let's close talking for one more moment about the show itself and about your relationship with A Midsummer Night's Dream. And you've said you've dreamed about this for a long time. What is it that resonates about A Midsummer Night's Dream for you?
It is very tightly plotted. It flows like nobody's business. It's funny. It has characters that are relatable to people now. And the language, while it is Shakespearean, is very accessible for all ages to do. When I was involved with Midsummer in 1970, I played the wall. And then I ran the light board for a production. And then we did a summer camp version that we turned into a jukebox musical with music from the 30s, which you were in.
As I recall,
And then I started working at St. George's, and I did a production every year for 17 years with the entire eighth grade class. So I have seen Midsummer in all of its glory and all of its not so much glory, but always there's something that happens with the show that ends up being magical. I just think it's so doable. It's fun. It's fun to do and fun to see. And it's challenging, but you're not dragging yourself through it ever. It's bright and buoyant.
One of the most accessible Shakespeare scripts.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love the plotting. I love how it flows, how all the characters end up at some point interacting with each other. And again, we've been given a great set that just sort of, you can come in here and go out there, and there's no need for scene changes or any break in the action. It just flows.
Well, the show is coming up July 24th through August 2nd at Spokane Civic Theater. I've been joined here in the studio by director Jean Hardy and several members of the cast. We'll also hear them perform a scene in just a moment. That will feature Toby King, Tejanay Hayes-Cormier, Grayson Blakesley, Miranda Lloyd, Jimmy Morin, Jared Beaudry, and we've just been speaking with Jean Hardy. So thank you so much for joining me here in the studio.
Thank you for having us, and I hope everyone will come see us. Our performances are Thursday and Friday night, but all the Saturdays and Sundays are matinees.
Good to know.
What hast thou done? Thou hast mistaken quite, and laid the love juice on some true love sight. About the wood, go swifter than the wind, and Helena of Athens look thou find. By some illusion, see thou bring her here. I'll charm his eyes against she do appear.
I go, look how I go, swifter than arrow from the Tartar's bow.
Flower of this purple dye, hit with Cupid's archery, sink an apple of his eye when his love he doth espy. Let her shine as gloriously as the Venus of the sky.
Captain of our fairy band, Helena is here at hand, and the youth mistook by me, pleading for a lover's fee. Shall we their fond pageant see? Lord, what fools these mortals be!
Why should you think that I should woo in scorn? Scorn and derision never come in tears.
You do advance your cunning more and more. When truth kills truth, ugh, devilish holy fray, these vows are Hermia's. Will you give her o'er? Weigh oath with oath, and you will nothing weigh.
I had no judgment when to her I swore.
Nor none in my mind, now you give her o'er.
Demetrius loves her, and he loves not you.
Oh, Helena, goddess, nymph, perfect, divine, to what my love shall I compare thine eyne? Crystal is muddy, how ripened show thy lips, those kissing cherries tempting glow.
Oh, spite! Oh, hell! I see you all are bent to set against me for thy merriment. Can you not hate me as I know you do, but you must join in souls to mock me too?
You are unkind, Demetrius. Be not so, for you love Hermia. This you know, I know. In Hermia's love, I yield you up my part, and yours of Helena to me bequeath, whom I do love and will do to my death.
Never did mockers waste more idle breath.
Lysander, keep thy Hermia, I will none. If e'er I loved her, all that love is gone. My heart to her but as guestwise sojourned. And now to Helena is home returned, there to remain.
Helena! Helena, it is not so!
Despair is not thy fate thou dost not know. Lest to thy peril, though, abide it dear. Look, where thy love comes, yonder is thy dear.
Thou art not by mine eye, Lysander, found. Mine ear, I thank it, brought me to thy sound. But why, unkindly, didst thou leave me so?
Why should he stay whom love doth press to go?
What love could press Lysander from my side?
Lysander's love that would not let him bide. Why seekest thou me? Could not this make thee know? The hate I bear thee made me leave thee so.
You speak not as you think. It cannot be.
No! She is one of this confederacy. Now I perceive they have conjoined all three to fashion this false sport in spite of me. Injurious Hermia, most ungrateful maid, will you rent our ancient love asunder to join with men in scorning your poor friend?
I am amazed at your passionate words. I scorn you not. It seems that you scorn me.
I do. Persever, counterfeit, sad looks. Make mouths upon me when I turn my back. Wink each at other. Hold the sweet jest up. If you have any pity, grace, or manners, you would not make me such an argument. But fare you well. 'Tis partly my own fault, which death or absence soon shall remedy.
Stay, gentle Helena, hear my excuse, my love, my life, my soul, fair Helena.
Oh, excellent!
Sweet, do not scorn her so!
If she cannot entreat, I can compel.
Thou canst compel no more than she entreat. Helena, I love thee, by my life I do. I swear that by which I would lose for thee.
I say I love thee more than he can do.
If thou say so, withdraw and prove it too.
Quick, come!
Lysander, where to tends all this?
Take on as you would follow, yet come not. You are a tame man. Go!
Hang off, thou cat, thou burr. Vile thing, let loose.
Why are you grown so rude? What change is this? Sweet love!
Thy love? Out, tawny tartar, out. Out loathed medicine, hated potion, hence.
Do you not jest?
Yes, sooth, and so do you.
Demetrius, I will keep my word with thee.
I would I had your bond, for I perceive a week. Bond holds you. I'll not take your word.
What? Should I hurt her, strike her, kill her dead? Although I hate her, I'll not harm her so.
What can you do me great harm than hate? Hate me wherefore? Am not I Hermia, and are you not Lysander? Why then, you left me in earnest, shall I say?
Aye, by my life, and never did desire to see thee more. Therefore be out of hope, of question, of doubt. Be certain nothing truer, 'tis no jest, that I do hate thee. And love, Helena.
Oh, me. You juggler! You canker blossom, you thief of love! What, have you come by night and stolen my love's heart from him?
Well, have you no modesty? No maiden shame? No touch of bashfulness? What, will you tear impatient answers from my gentle tongue? Fie, fie, you counterfeit, you puppet, you.
Puppet? Why so? Aye, that way goes the game. And are you grown so high in his esteem because I am so dwarfish and so low? How low am I, thou painted maple? Speak, how low am I? I am not yet so low but that my nails can reach unto thine eyes!
I pray you, though you mock me, gentlemen, let her not hurt me. You perhaps may think because she is something lower than myself that I can match her.
Lower? Hark! Again!
Good Hermia, do not be so bitter with me. I evermore did love you, Hermia, did ever keep your counsels, never wronged you, save that, in love unto Demetrius, I told him of your stealth unto this wood. He followed you. For love I followed him, but he hath chid me hence and threatened me. So now if you will let me quiet go, to Athens will I bear my folly back and follow you no further. Let me go. You see how simple and how fond I am.
Why, get you gone. Who is that hinders you?
A foolish heart that I leave here behind.
What, with Lysander?
With Demetrius.
Be not afraid. She shall not harm me, Helena.
No, sir, she shall not, though you take her part.
Oh, when she is angry, she is keen and shrewd. She was a vixen when she went to school, and though she be but little, she is fierce.
Little? Again? Nothing but low and little. Why will you suffer her to flout me thus? Let me come to her.
Get you gone, you dwarf, you bead, you acorn. Now she holds me not. Now follow, if thou darest, to try who's right, of thine or mine, is most in Helena.
Follow? Nay, I'll go with thee, cheek by jowl.
You, mistress, all this coil is long of you. Nay, go not back.
I will not trust you, I, nor longer stay in your cursed company. Your hands than mine are quicker for a fray. My legs are longer, though, to run away.
I am amazed and know not what to say.
This is thy negligence. Still thou mistakest, or else commit thy knaveries willfully.
Believe me, King of Shadows, I mistook. Did not you tell me I should know the man by the Athenian garments he had on? And so far, blameless proves my enterprise that I have anointed an Athenian's eyes. And so far, am I glad it did so sort, as is their jangling, I esteem a sport.
Thou seest these lovers seek a place to fight. Hie therefore, Robin, overcast the night. The starry welkin cover thou anon, with drooping fog as black as Acheron, and lead these testy rivals so astray, as one can not with another's way. Then crush this herb into Lysander's eye. When they next wake, all this derision shall seem a dream in fruitless vision. While as I in this affair do thee employ, out to my queen and beg her pardoning, and then I will her charmed eye release from monstrous view, and all things shall be peace.
Up and down, up and down, I will lead them up and down. I am feared and feared and down. Goblin, lead them up and down.